Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
Welcome back to Boys Lunch.
Happy July
or November. I don't know.
You can be That's true. We are getting emails that it's
any
making.
Point.
We get emails making it seem. I mean, even we're forgetting where what podcast they're referencing. So, yes, welcome to Boys Lunch. This is two Catholic teachers talking about life. This is Paul. You just heard from Joseph, or Joey, as he's called. Said on the streets.
On the streets.
You can, as always, email us at boyslunch1@gmail.com. We've got a couple of emails.
Yes.
Want to shout out to listener Ricky.
Yep.
Who wants to make everybody aware of the fact that he himself does not eat Domino's. It's his brother. So apparently in some episode a long, long time ago, we talked about Ricky and his brother Will and their love for Domino's.
Yeah.
So.
Miss you already, Ricky.
Miss you, Ricky.
I'm sure it was a good thing that we said. I don't remember what we said, but I appreciate you.
Just the fact replying. That you're listening and found the email address.
He sent that on June 5th. I'm assuming it was, I mean, we didn't post one. I don't know. I think May 20 something was our last
episode. Just trying to think our last time we mentioned Domino's. But Ricky, it's great to hear from you. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, heck of a guy.
Who else did we get an email from?
Kevin Cook.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Always good to hear from you, Kevin.
Yeah. I got to see Kevin a couple weeks ago. He was looking great. Summer Kevin.
Everybody loves summer Kevin.
Yeah.
Fall Kevin, spring Kevin, nobody likes. Summer Kevin, people are a big fan.
But he forwarded and reminded us that Allison Tarr gave us a shout out. And
yes.
Yeah.
God, love Allison Tarr.
Thank you.
Faith Fridays. I don't know how you subscribe, Allison, but if you would like to subscribe to Allison's Faith Friday newsletter.
Respond to Boys Lunch 1.
Respond to boyslunch1.com,
and then we will forward you over to...
We like to make connections, whether it's Ashley Miller for Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or whether it's getting people signed up for Allison Tarr's blog, or that avenue.
You know who I ran into twice last week?
Who'd you run into?
Toby Havens.
Shut up. I ran into Toby.
I know. One of them was... I went to Taco Bell.
Okay, yeah.
Toby runs that place.
Seriously.
And it was just me by myself at night in a very compromising position trying to get the new volcano taco. But he leans out the window like he always does because he's never actually working drive-through.
Yeah.
He just will see you from afar and then come.
So he sees you on the camera.
Something like that, yeah, yeah.
I just loved it.
What and is he comes over and he's like, I just saw Rayburn this week too. Yeah. Where'd you see him? Soccer?
Soccer, yeah. We were actually ran into the Raritans.
Nice.
So Joshua and his dad were playing. And then there's this redheaded kid that's brought the wrong colored t-shirt, so I had to play shirtless.
Love that, Toby.
And so I was like squinting my eyes. I'm like, wait a second. Squinting because of the glare off of his skin.
makes sense.
Might as well have had a white t-shirt on. He's working hard at Taco Bell, not getting a lot of sun. And then... I'm like, is that Toby Havens? Sure enough. Toby's keeping in shape.
Yeah.
He looked good out there.
Yeah.
Miss watching him on Central Soccer Field, but good to see he's keeping it going.
He had such a drive and hustle in him.
So true.
No quit.
He'd also run through you at any moment. On a swivel. No mercy.
I saw him at the Tawanda Parade.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. 4th of July. But yeah, Toby Havens, shout out.
That's a name I
shout out.
Oh, Toby.
Yeah. Been a busy month, like I alluded to last time. Doing a lot.
And you're like, you know what? Let's keep it rolling.
Yeah.
No break.
My buddy David from college came into town. Him and his family are on their way to Chicago, and so they stayed with us. The girl's the same age. Did I talk about this last podcast?
I don't think you talked about it last.
So that was a lot of fun. And then they stopped by on the way back as well.
These Benedictine grads?
Yeah.
Him and his wife?
Him and his wife, yeah. So good friends of ours. And so the kids that are the appropriate age where they're playing with our kids. And it's awesome.
You have a little adult time all day.
Yeah. You know, so it's something I'm trying to work on is just like opening my home more, inviting people in, or just learning how to be giving and hospitable.
I haven't noticed, but good for you.
Well, hey, you're at my house right now. Screw you.
That's fun.
I don't know. So that was a nice moment. Went and saw my brother Jason up in Chicago. We went to Cubs game.
Miss you, Jason.
So that was a lot of fun seeing him. It was the day that the Canada wildfires.
I know you're so used to seeing California wildfires.
Yeah, right. We're descending upon Chicago. So it was a hazy night, but a lot of fun. The Cubs lost. But you never lose when you're at Wrigley.
Exactly.
You know? And then we went to Indianapolis, the family. So we surprised the boys. They're really into Dude Perfect. If you don't know them, they're a YouTube group, over 50 million subscribers. but they do trick shots, a lot of fun things and competitions, and my kids just love them. So the boys, if you follow my wife on social media, I think she posted some videos. They're hilarious. We were up in the nosebleeds at the Pacers Stadium.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
It's high up there.
Yeah. And they were screaming. Like, Cisco, like, pretty much lost his voice. But they were engaged the entire, like, hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just, like, getting into everything. But
they have big screens and everything.
Oh, yeah.
They were watching.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Is there also just a video of you also losing your mind?
I was keeping it cool. I was pretty excited. I don't know. Were you the one that was asking if I would have enjoyed it if it was just me? Yeah. Yeah,
I would. You said that, you wouldn't have necessarily bought yourself a ticket, but if someone had offered you, you would have.
I watched enough of their videos with the boys that, like, I'm into their segments and kind of their friendship and their, like, personalities enough.
Yeah, you're bought in.
They're good Christian guys.
It's true. Former youth pastors, a couple of them?
Yeah, I think they were, like, camp counselors at, like, a Christian camp, and they totally gave off that vibe. Yeah. Like, think of, like, your Extreme Totus to his people. Like, that's them, but, like, then they got a channel and sponsorships and stuff. But at the end, they're like, hey, thank you guys for coming. We're going to go back and get a drink. If you want to stay around, we're going to talk about what, like, matters to us, like, what keeps us going and driven, which is our faith. So if you want to stick around for our message, we'll be out a little bit. And so, like, most of the stadium stayed, and they came out. He had a Bible. He read from Romans. He sent us off, like, with a little message to, like,
look at that,
go love people. And yeah, it was cool. You don't really get that a lot.
Evangelizing through trick shots.
You go to Bluey. That's not really going to happen. You know?
Well, you don't know.
Bluey on ice.
Have you ever been to Bluey on ice?
No.
Bingo comes out. We'd like to share the message of Jesus Christ.
We're about to go get a drink out back, but we're going to come back. That's some of what's been busy. And how about you?
That's great. Just really getting into the rhythm of summer, enjoying the pool. Also, continuing the tradition of emotionally scarring our children through movies that we show our kids that we watched as children.
Yes.
So this week it was Homeward Bound. Now, Mary wanted the girls to watch this, and maybe the girls had asked about it. But every time I was like, no.
Mom, what's that dog movie on the screen?
I was like, it emotionally scarred me once.
Did you guys screen it before? Because I think that was the problem with Air Bud, right?
It's you like, just
as you're watching with the girls, you're like, oh no, this is about to come up.
There are a lot of parts that you forget. In this one, I think we remembered all of them.
Okay.
Ready. There wasn't an abusive basketball coach that you forgot about. You just knew it was a
creepy clown, wasn't it?
It was a great adventure, but there was a moment where you really thought they weren't going to make it. Shadow?
Oh, yeah.
Is he just too old?
Shadow. What were the other names?
Shadow, Chance, and
Chance.
Sassy.
Sassy's a cat, right?
Sassy's the cat, of course. But spoilers, if anyone hasn't seen it, at the end, Shadow falls at this rail yard.
Yeah.
He falls through these boards. It's a muddy pit. He can't get up the side. And everywhere, there's not a dry eye in the room. But my daughters are just like, is he going to make it? And like, they play it out too. Like, they don't resolve the scene. Chance goes down to try to help him. He's like, I'm just too old. You got to let me go. You got to say goodbye. Girls are dying. Mary and I are crying. You know? Sassy comes over, or Chance comes over, then Sassy comes over the hill, and then there's no Shadow.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everyone's crying. I was like, oh my gosh.
So out of the shadows comes a new life.
Shadow makes it.
So was Shadow the Christ-like figure of this movie, would you say?
I'm trying to think. No, because it pretty much is all his fault. Actually,
I really don't remember it at all.
Because they're at a farm and they're just getting taken care of and they're going to come back and see him. But Shadow's just like, he shouldn't be gone this long. I'm going home. And so he's pretty much just like, buckle up. You're either ride or die. It's like, you're either coming with me or you're staying here. So Chance and Sassy follow him into the Sierra, like, mountains. And,
Do you think people came knowing they were going to get this big of a deep dive into Homeward Bound.
I also feel bad that I'm blaming Shadow, but really, if they just stayed there, they would have been fine.
Yeah. See, in my memory, Shadow was the wise, the older one, wasn't he?
Isn't
Chance kind of the troublemaker?
That's the thing. Kind of think this is
probably going to be Chance's fault. It's Shadow's fault.
If they just stayed there, if Shadow just trusted.
He's like the elder son in The Prodigal Son. Wow. He didn't trust.
He didn't trust that he's going to come back.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Chance is, I don't know, kind of gets him riled up, so I get it.
Yeah.
There's some confusion.
That was released in 1993.
Oh, man.
And it looks as boring as it actually is in real life.
It's actually, yeah.
No, I remember liking it. We watched
Michael J. Fox is the
Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco more.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you also watch Surf Ninjas? Is that one on VHS?
Yeah, we did all the time. No, that was like one. I don't know if we had number one on VHS. But we had number two on VHS. So it's like one of those series where recorded? Like you watch number two more.
Was it recorded off?
And sometimes it's better. Like Mario X D2, if you have that, it's so much better than D1. So.
Yeah, in a different way. But
oh, shut up. Don't even say the original's good.
The first one?
What was good about Mario X 1?
It doesn't. I'm not saying it's okay. As good as D2. Okay. I'm just saying it's not like. It's fine.
You don't even need to watch the first one to understand the second one.
Get out of here.
Right?
Yes, you do.
You could pick up a D2 and be fine.
Of course, but it wouldn't mean as much.
Well, that just goes to the story writing. Screenwriting. I mean,
you
can pick up anywhere.
But you can't.
You can pick up D3.
Gordon Bombay's childhood drama, the Charlie as a character.
Gordon Bombay's drunk driving.
I was thinking of his scarred hockey childhood. He hit the post.
Is that why he was a drunk driver? Because he missed the post when he was 9 years old?
He probably never had the love of his parents. Oh, okay. Because he missed that shot. Anyway, we're back. I'm so sorry. Anyway.
So the girls, did they end up liking it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like at the end, like I think Zaylee's crying. She's like, why are all dog movies sad? And so we've got Marley and Me queued up. Mary's excited.
No, is that a sad one? That's a sad one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marley dies or something.
Whoa.
I don't know. I don't
it's pretty much the life of the dog. They get you super attached with a dog.
Yeah. Old Yeller.
They don't shoot him. Okay. Another spoiler.
Okay, yeah, sir.
But it's like they get you attached to a dog. So it's, you know how Winston's eventually going to die here in a couple years. Oh, I get like the benefit of, 9, 10, 11 years with him.
Yeah.
I know it's coming. Like the movie, they just take you through the life cycle of the dog, get you attached, and they kill him.
And they show you the most emotional parts where you really want to. Yeah, yeah. So, a lot of your life with Winston is just boring.
Right. It's a lot of him just napping.
Yeah. Well.
Gosh. I don't know how far we are into the banter, but thanks for sticking around. Now, before we get to the topic, I'd like to shout out our sponsors, FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. If you're interested in supporting a student Bible study or missionary, perhaps led by one Ashley Miller, please email boyslunch1@gmail.com.
Write your checks out to Boys Lunch. What?
But seriously, if you would like to help a fellow listener out and sponsor a Catholic University, a Fellowship of Catholic University student.
A Holy Trinity and Central Catholic alum.
Absolutely. If you want to support Ashley, she's going to be in Ohio at the University of Miami.
Miami.
Is she at the University of Miami? Miami is she? I don't know.
Miami, Ohio.
Teddy, I'm sorry. You deserve better, Teddy Johnson. All right.
You ready? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I'm a little lost, but.
Speaking of lost in the Sierras.
Speaking of a lost college kid who needs focus. Have you ever felt lost in your life?
Absolutely, Joe.
I've had some big moments this summer being lost.
This summer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Better now that I'm with you.
Thanks for asking.
We had a. You know how I lose my wallet a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got one of those things that...
I have a tile, where I can locate it because I just lose it all the time.
Dude, is that helpful?
It is actually very helpful. I've got my money's worth out of that. When we had our park date, I left my phone at the park.
Don't
drove all the way to Sam's Club with you and realized I left it at the park. So there's that moment of, oh no, hopefully it's there. I have no clue where it's at. Driving back frantically, trying to find it, realizing it was just sitting there and it was overheating. And you had the message just saying overheating.
Yeah.
Just baking in the sun. And had some other moments of losing stuff. We are coming back from Kansas. Sorry, Sal, I'm going to be spilling a lot of family details right now. She left her phone at a gas station in Jacksonville, Illinois, about an hour and a half away from home.
So it's contagious.
Yes. It took us 8 hours to get home with a baby.
Right.
So we got home and realized like we just didn't have her phone anywhere. And she was at the point where it was like, you know, it's just a phone. Like, I'm not that attached to it. It doesn't matter that much. And I was like, I've lost all the stuff on my phone before. My buddy tried to log into my phone and did the passcode too many times and logged me out. I didn't know what the PIN number was.
Oh, jeez.
So I lost like 2 years of pictures and videos. And that was like Cisco's first year of life. Oh, gosh. And you know what? There's a detachment to things. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter. We still have Cisco. But I was like, you have like 3 years worth of stuff probably on that phone. Like that and all of your information, all your passwords. No, like I'll go and I'll look for it. I think it's probably there. But there's that feeling of like helplessness. Like, oh no, like something that I'm so attached to or like I need to so much, my life is gone and that I trust to be there and I feel comfort and safety and security when it's there. And there's just like that frantic, like drop everything you're doing and leave. Mm-hmm. And we had that with Damien twice at Target once. I was at the self-checkout and he was with me and Sella and Cisco went to the bathroom and I looked down and he's not there with me anymore. And it was like this frantic moment where I started going up. I didn't care what I looked like. Mm-hmm. I was frantically like looking and kind of yelling his name and like going up and down aisles until I found him like in the girl's bathroom. I didn't go in the girl's bathroom, but he came out of the girl's bathroom. But there's just like, I don't know, this helpless feeling and kind of dropping everything in, I don't know, you feel lost. Mm-hmm. So I had some like real life examples that happened. The hour and a half drive I had to go find the phone, actually 3 hour round trip, I did a lot of reflecting on this idea of being lost. Because I was just coming back from Kansas and Sel and I had a very like good experience there where we were seriously talking about like moving. Like what would it be like if we moved here? Not that I don't know if it was going to happen, but like I'm sure you guys have had those exercises where like, what would it be like if this, we did this?
Yeah.
Or if this happened, or if we moved here, I took this job, or are we ready for another kid? Like all these things that happen, there's those moments where you almost feel lost of like, are we in the right place? So we had just come back from this trip and I was just thinking a lot, like just like this frantic feeling I had, like we need to get this phone back because it's so important to me. There was this frantic lostness, feeling of lost of like, am I in the right place right now? Mm. And I'm sure that's relatable to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
I think there's different levels of feeling lost in your life. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, I think that's something definitely that everybody can relate to. For me, it jumps out. What jumps out to me is that feeling of, I don't know, we're so strategic in trying to plan our day and things according to how we like them, our favorites or what works best for us, a certain rhythm that we become attached to, things that we become attached to. You said it, comforts, right? Mm-hmm. There's something there that we've become attached to these things. And then when they're ripped out from underneath you, or you find that like you don't know where the next direction is, mm-hmm. or there's a tragedy in your life, it's as if like all these things that you're holding on so tightly to, they've been ripped from your grip, and you are just kind of like frantically searching, or mm-hmm. or some people are paralyzed in those moments as well. It's like I have not a clue what to do.
And yeah.
So there's different kind of ways in which that's experienced, whether it be a frantic searching, paralyzing fear, or just an overall kind of an existential crisis of meaning. What is the point?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think this this feeling of being helpless when you're lost isn't always a bad thing. I don't know. I think it's when it goes to that being hopeless. I've lost all hope that things will get better. If you feel helpless, like it's that moment of like, I can't do this anymore. I'm lost and like the things that I'm doing aren't working. And I feel like, how can I make some of my lost feelings make sense? How can I make it so it actually brings hope? Like I'm lost right now, but being lost means that I can also be found. And I think that the fact that I'm lost, it means that I'm searching for something and that there's someone hopefully searching for me. I think that's the bigger kind of picture of it.
Well, I think what you say there is you're getting to the point of it's nothing that I can do is going to fix this, or it's this. It's not by my efforts that this will be attained. It's the helplessness is this reality that it's like, I'm actually not in control, or actually I'm not going to be enough to do this, or I don't know, right? It's a humbling moment, and that is always good. If it's going to create detachment, if it's going to humble you, if it's going to make you more receptive and change your kind of your disposition and approach to life, I think that's why we talk about these moments of grace that crash through. It's when what you've built up, this world of comfort, which also brings about sometimes attachments that are unhealthy, even though they're good things, they can prevent some of this growth.
Yeah, I like that humility. I think that is opportunities for humility. If I can't do this anymore, I need my community around me, the people around me, but more importantly, I need like the one who is seeking me out.
Yeah.
And I think those making sense of those lost feelings, like I said, bringing hope, bringing a search.
I think what you're feeling and experiencing in it is awesome, because you're recognizing that these painful moments or these uncomfortable moments or searching moments are ultimately good, because it is, I don't know, there's just so much going on here. You're reflecting on your life. You're understanding that there's a greater good to be sought that you're not doing, that you need to take action in your life in some ways, but also need to rest it and search out what it is that is next. I mean, there's so much going on right now in these moments of loss that sometimes like we don't really see that in the moment, because it's just a matter of panic. Like, who am I? What am I doing? What went wrong? Or I must find a way out. It can be hard to distill, but I think you're very much in the process of doing that.
Yeah. And that's like, I think you started getting into more of that, like feeling lost and what is my meaning, my purpose? Like, what am I doing with my life? Because I think there's a spiritual, like, my virtues, I'm not really like, I don't have the good habits. I'm not like receiving the sacraments in a worthy way. I'm not like attentive in prayer. I'm not like pursuing Christ within the word of God and the scriptures. But I think there's also like the bigger, like what we almost make our identity, our jobs, our careers, what we're doing in our lives. There's this a feeling of loss that some of us get. Like, why am I doing this job? Mm-hmm. I mean, the reality is so many people go on and study things and they have great skills and interests and hobbies, and they don't end up in a place where that is fully utilizing those.
Yeah.
I think you can be creative and find ways and fulfillment within that, but there's a lot of people like that. It's not matching up to my direct interests. And it's such a big part of my identity, because that's what we do in America. We make work a big part of our identity. And I think it makes us feel like that's who we are, then we feel lost.
Mm-hmm. Or that if I'm not able to do what I, in my mind, have as like my ideal life, that I can't be fulfilled, right?
Yeah.
There can't be meaning found in jobs that seem less than what I should be doing. You know?
And I think I'm very lucky, and I think I'm a rare person in the world today, because I went and studied what I wanted to study and that I'm really interested in, and I feel like I have some skills in, and I found a job in that field.
Yeah.
I've been in that field for 10 years, and I have a wife who's supporting me and who's sacrificing her own interests for that. And I think that I try not to take that for granted. I try to be grateful and gracious for that. But it's also like trying to look from her perspective, because the moments that I consider the rest of the work field, like when I look at what else can I do, because she's sacrificing so much for me, like, can I sacrifice for her? Would I do the same thing? And I look just at the vast array of jobs of what I could do, and I feel lost even just looking at that, considering that. And it gives me, I think, just a taste of what she might be experiencing, or other people, that friends in our lives that I think are experiencing that right now. Mm-hmm. I think there is something of I feel lost where I am right now. I think our reading of Father Dubé right now has been helpful in that idea of, it's good to feel a little lost in the world. You shouldn't feel very settled in here, because there's so much more that you're made for. Mm-hmm. These created things and these created jobs and whatever can only satisfy us so much. I think trying to find a bigger meaning out of these things, I don't know, I guess is the answer out of this. If I'm feeling lost, it's probably a good thing, because it means that I'm not satisfied with this, and I shouldn't be satisfied with this, or I should make more out of this, or I don't know. I was thinking of one of the guys I met up with in Kansas, one of my buddies, Drew, studied to become a teacher and was teaching for a while, and now he's an apprentice to be a butcher. And I was talking to him, and he's doing what he needs to do right now to be able to love his family. And he's a very holy and prayerful man. And he's raising great kids with his wife. I think that matters the most to him, because that's what's making him closer to God and more in union with him. Mm-hmm. And I think the person who maybe doesn't have that work towards that union with God does feel lost even more within that job. I think that's what, that's where we go back to when we feel lost, I guess. If I'm not praying through and discerning this, it's very hard to find meaning in what I'm doing. Maybe that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a career can be confused with vocation. Very much we can continue to chase new location, new city, new type of job, bigger paycheck. But ultimately, I think we return to that feeling of being lost because we're not living our vocation. We're not drawing closer to Christ. We're not seeing the bigger picture, understanding that, that this world is ultimately fleeting, will leave us unsatisfied. Even the best paying job in the best city, surrounded by the nicest things, is going to, if we're not oriented towards a gift of self and a proper understanding of why we have these things and who they're made for, mm-hmm. right? Ultimately we find ourselves back in that same lost feeling. And all it points to is that we will never be satisfied by anything of this world.
Yeah. It's a lot easier said than done.
Right.
As we're sitting here in our summer break, I think God has really been gracious to us. But I think there's also a lot of things where we become disillusioned within our own lives, thinking that we're okay because of the work that we do. But I think there's a lot of work that we need to do as well. But I think this idea of feeling lost, what I was trying to get at is, I think there's a beauty in this. We can feel lost in the created world because we're not satisfied by the things of the created world. And I think sometimes those moments where life isn't the greatest can kind of show us not the ugliness of the world, but the littleness of the world. Mm. John LaCrosse, he says, nothing worldly satisfies one who has tasted the divine. Any other communication further increases and awakens her appetite, like the crumbs given to a famished man. With someone who is hungry and starving for food, those crumbs just make your appetite even more insatiable, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like you want more. And I think once you've tasted the divine and tasted God and grown deeper in prayer and virtue, you just seek that out and you're less satisfied with things. You almost feel lost in the world because you've heard the voice of the shepherd. If you're that sheep that's wandering in the pasture, there's only so much grass you could eat, so much poop you can walk through. Once you start to discern that voice and you discern the path of the one who's going to take care of you and give you meaning and purpose and love and attention and comfort.
Trying to tie this all back together, we think, why do the sheep wander off sometimes? Or I think of kind of our generation is often one that changes jobs often, moves often, leaves for a new homestead or new place, chases these new experiences. Sometimes I think we're constantly searching for something, we think we'll be satisfied by these new experiences, the exciting changes in life, these new jobs, these new vehicles, new lives. But ultimately they lead us back to this moment of searching, of lacking, of, so I think of like, Christ is constantly calling us back. And I think that loneliness or crisis or feeling lost is that call back to return to who you are and what you were made for. Because we're just chasing new experiences, we ultimately end up, you're seeking something of this world and an attachment to a status, to power, to new money or new excitements and pleasures. But ultimately it doesn't allow you to find out and sit with who you are, who God made you to be, and what that means. If we're constantly just kind of entertaining or seeking new things. I think this image of the Good Shepherd, this calling back, ultimately the person, and I think to bring it back to what you said at the beginning, when you recognize that need and you're humbled by that moment of helplessness, mm-hmm. that is the voice of the shepherd. That's Christ calling us back to rest with him, to sit with why are we experiencing this, mm-hmm. this feeling of loneliness?
Yeah. And my sheep know my voice, like, right. They're able to mm-hmm. discern my call. And I think all this kind of imagery of being lost, it just hit me because that call, like sometimes we do hear it, sometimes we don't, or we're trying to discern what it is. Sometimes we turn back and sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to think of like how to make meaning out of this being lost. And I think I was struggling with that of, are we in the right place? I think it takes that moment of actually discerning this within prayer. I'm only going to be able to figure that out if I go to the source of what I'm made for. And I think a lot of feeling lost is losing the end goal. What is my end goal in life? What is the telos? What is the ultimate meaning? What is my purpose? Become more in love with God, become like him, and hope for that union with him in heaven, and to get glimpses of that union on earth. And I think every time I'm feeling lost, it's because I've maybe lost that end goal. Where in my vocation, maybe I'm not living it as well, where I'm mirroring the love of the Trinity within my marriage, where I'm becoming like God the Father in my parenting, or when I'm teaching with the passion of the Holy Spirit. Like maybe I've lost that, and that's why I feel lost within that, because I've lost the end goal of what I'm made for. Yeah, I don't know. What else do you have?
Well, I think I just affirm that that anyone who is experiencing this now, who isn't satisfied in a job or is searching or feels like, just kind of lost, almost lost at sea, aimlessly kind of floating between one thing and the next, or just wishes that they had more direction in their life. Ultimately God's providence, God's will works within this, and that there is a great good that comes from this, whether it be these moments of searching. It's not a bad thing to sit here and be like, why do I live in Bloomington? Maybe I should move out there. Mm-hmm. Why would I move out there? And to take that to prayer and to rest and to see, like, yeah, is this move going to be good for our family? Is this what we're called to do now? How would this,
I think a lot of it comes down from judging ourselves on what we do and not who we are. Mm-hmm. If we get too caught up in just like, am I doing enough of the mission work? Am I doing enough of all these things? And I'm not resting in like my identity of who I am, but allowing myself to be loved and received by the Father. Mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of the lost feelings come from. Mm-hmm. So I think returning back to that, being able to be loved and known and given that blessing, that inheritance, so that wherever you are, even if you're, I think there's a lot of people that don't have a family, and so they feel even more lost. Mm-hmm. Or they don't have they're not settled in their vocation yet. Recognizing that there is still, you have a home, you have a dwelling, and that is within that life of the Trinity. And am I returning, allowing myself to be loved and finding my identity in that and not other things in the world? That's why we feel lost a lot of times. It's being focused so much on what we're doing and not on who we are.
Because I think for our recent graduates graduates from high school and graduates from college, I think you invest a lot of time into your own education and the degree that mm-hmm. you have. And just like you alluded to earlier, like a lot of times you get out or you're in between majors or you don't know if this is what you want to do. I mean, there's a lot of people that find themselves in kind of a crisis mode of who am I? I think mm-hmm. it's important to remind, I think that's beautiful the way you said that you are loved, sought, there is home mm-hmm. within this blessed Trinity, that, you know, God's will be done mm-hmm. in this moment. But part of that is our own return too. And humble acceptance of that love from the Father.
Yeah. Put up rock on signs right now with my hands. Cool. Any shout outs?
I just want to shout out Ian McCoy. This is a live text I just got now.
No way.
He says, I have funds set aside for your next meal. So he just listened to our last podcast.
Aiden.
I'll let you know when we have our reservation at Epiphany Farms.
Oh, nice. Good call.
I do that, like, what is that, 4 or 5 course meal that they've got?
Yeah, jeez. He's going to need to pick up a few extra shifts.
Yeah. I mean, chop, fold, and fold also.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Any shout outs for you?
Shout out to my brother Jason for hosting me. Thank you for doing that. And so my parents have helped us out a lot this summer. Kind of help them with the boys at different times. So shout out to Joe and Pam for that. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Legends.
Yeah.
For the kingdom?
Oh, for the kingdom.